learner has strengths and every learner has weaknesses, right? But how can we be sure that we know our learners well enough to understand who they are versus just what they can do? In this episode, I share three practical ways to make a strengths-first mindset a priority in your classroom, on your campus, or throughout your district. Grab a pen, or not if you're driving, but turn it up and let's get started. Lots of learning ahead. Hey friends, what is up? Welcome to A Meaningful Mess podcast. I am so honored that you decided to listen, and I hope that you enjoy what you hear. I'm your host, Andy McNair, and I'm a wife, mom, author, gifted education and innovation specialist, and passionate educator that believes in today's learners. And just like many of you, I'm just trying to keep it all together. The reality is that even though I try to keep it all together, I can be a complete mess sometimes. You see, I believe that it's perfectly fine for learning to be messy as long as it's meaningful. I can't wait to share manageable and meaningful ideas for you to utilize in your classroom and beyond. My hope is that the ideas and strategies shared each week will help you find meaning in your mess. Thanks for being here today. Let's do this. Welcome back to A Meaningful Mess Podcast. I posted earlier this week on Instagram, basically talking about this idea of what we think giftedness looks like versus what it actually looks like. And this is something I think about a lot. It's this idea of so often at school, we are looking to fix kids, right? We're looking to find out what are their weaknesses and what can we fix. And I think if we could find a way as an educational system to shift to a strengths-first mindset, there would be huge, huge gains in the engagement of our learners and their willingness to invest in what's happening at school. But so often when they come to school, they know that they're going to be told what they're not good at. And I know that that's not always the case. Gosh, I think about so many times when I've seen teachers encourage learners and feed into their strengths and all of those things. But what I want to talk about today is being really intentional about that. And I think about my own classroom. I often think back to when I was in the classroom and I was teaching in a general education classroom. I've often shared that I was a really traditional teacher for a really long time until I kind of made that shift to, you know what, I'm either going to take some risks and do things differently, or I'm leaving education. And so for me, as I began to make that shift and move from being very traditionally minded and doing things the way that I had always been told I was supposed to do them to doing something that actually made sense, I really began to realize that I had not had a strengths-first mindset in my classroom. I oftentimes looked for the things that I needed to fix. I looked for what my students didn't do well. And I realize now looking back that so many of those kids had strengths that I never even saw, much less actually acknowledge. And so this idea of a strengths-first mindset is really being intentional about doing those things. And man, I wish I could go back and fix that, because for so long that wasn't the case. But what I will say is that once I began making passion-based learning a priority in my classroom, I do think I shifted to more of a strengths-first mindset. I don't think to the extent that I have now, but it did have a huge impact in the way that I taught and the way that my students learned when I focused less on their weaknesses and more on their strengths. And so in today's episode, I want to share exactly what that looks like. I'm going to share three ways that you can make a strengths-first mindset a priority in your classroom, on your campus, or in your district. I'm also going to talk a little bit about how this connects to gifted education, and as many times as I can, I'm always going to make this connection. How can passion-based learning or genius hour play a role in this as well? So let's just get started. Let me share with you the post that I posted on Instagram. And if you don't follow me there, be sure that you do. You can find me at @a_meaningful_mess. But I recently posted, "Giftedness doesn't always fit into the school box. You have kids in your classroom that may never pass a unit test, but they can go home and put a car back together, or they may be able to speak three languages. Let's be careful that we don't miss what a kid can do because we are so focused on what they can't. And man, I kind of woke up with that thought on my mind, and I've said those things often. You've probably even heard me say some of those on the podcast, but I think really focusing on this idea is important. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. So like I said, the first thing that I want to do as we go kind of throughout this episode is talk about three ways that we can make this a priority. Before we do that, I want to say really quickly that I do think that there are so many gifted learners that are misunderstood. Maybe because they're misunderstood, they are never identified. And because they are never identified, they are never served. And I think that's so unfortunate because I think oftentimes we have in our head what giftedness should look like. And unfortunately, as silly as it sounds, I worry that sometimes we think giftedness is a learner being smart and compliant. Right? Do they like school? Do they want to be here? Do they make straight A's? And oftentimes those are the kids that are recommended or asked to be tested for gifted services. When in reality, just the opposite is the case, right? It might be a kid who's actually struggling in the traditional school system. It might be a kid who's not compliant, but who has real questions about why school is the way that it is. So I think we have to be careful and we have to be open-minded when it comes to giftedness because, man, just like I shared, those kids who can go home and could put a car back together or those kids who can go home and speak three languages, if that's not giftedness, I don't know what is. And so I think this idea of really being willing to look beyond the school box and what we traditionally do is something that we really need to consider. Okay, so let's dive into these three ways to make a strengths-first mindset a priority. Let's kind of go there and talk about what each of these look like. First of all, number one, never talk about a learner's weaknesses before talking about their strengths first. Oh gosh, it's easier said than done. I get it, because sometimes it's so tempting to be like, let me tell you about this kid, right? Or I think about at the beginning of the school year when we see our colleagues' class list and we're like, oh, wow, you are going to have such a fun year. Let me just tell you why you're going to struggle or why these kids are going to struggle. And if you have a strengths-first mindset, what needs to happen in that situation, as hard as it may be, is to look at that colleague and say, you know what? I have a strengths-first mindset. And so what that means is that I don't want to hear about any of these kids' weaknesses until I hear about their strengths first. So hey, if you're about to tell me the things that they do well and how amazing they are, I'm all ears. But if you're about to tell me what they don't do well and why I should be stressed out about having them in class, I just really don't want to go there right now because I don't want to have any preconceived notions before I experience that for myself. And I think giving it a name, like this is actually a thing, it's called strengths first mindset, makes that encounter a little less awkward. Like this is actually a thing and it's a perspective that I have. And I think that it can spread like wildfire, right? It can be really contagious and help people consider, oh, wait a second, I didn't even realize that's what I was doing. But I think being intentional about that is really important. I'll give you a really personal example of this. My daughter actually struggled a little bit in elementary. She is labeled gifted, but is a very non-traditional gifted learner. Does not make straight A's, oftentimes will struggle with her classes and standardized testing, those types of things. And I got a phone call from the school that they needed to see me because Katie was struggling in some areas. And it was hard. Like I was really stressed out about it, but I know what Katie's strengths are. I know what my daughter does well, and I know what she is capable of doing. And so I wanted them to know those things. And so I knew from being a teacher. So first of all, let me kind of set the scene. This was the first time that I was going into the school as someone that did not work at the school. So I had gotten a job outside of the classroom and my kids had moved school, so I didn't know any of these teachers. And so we were going from this situation where my kids went to school in the same district that I taught in. And so we were always together. I knew all of their teachers. They were my friends. And so this situation was really uncomfortable. And so knowing I was getting ready to walk into a situation where they were going to tell me what she wasn't doing well was really hard for me. And so I actually sat out in the car and cried because I just couldn't bring myself to go in. And I called my husband. I said, I'm not going in. And he was like, you have to go in. I was like, I'm not going in. And he said, look, if you don't go in, we look like bad parents. And you actually work in the education industry. So it seems like maybe you should set a good example and go in. And so I finally pulled myself together, if that's what you want to call it. I'm one of those people that after I've cried, you can tell I've cried for days. So I really don't think I looked like I had it together when I walked into that meeting. I'm sure they were like, wow, this is her mom. And as I walked into the meeting, I remember sitting down and look, she wasn't struggling with anything major. This was very minor, but I think they just knew that I wanted to be involved. And they were also trying to get us involved as new people in the district. And so just a good opportunity to connect. And so as I sat down though, I remember one of the teachers saying, this teacher is actually one of my best friends now, but at the moment I didn't know her at all. And I remember her saying, you know what, before we talk about where your daughter is struggling or what she is maybe needs to work on, would you mind if we kind of all went around and told you what we love about her and what we think her strengths are? And oh my gosh, all I can tell you is that in that moment, I was completely disarmed, right? Every little bit, because look, I wanted to go in there and be like, are you giving her an opportunity to pursue her passion? Is she getting an opportunity to kind of showcase her strengths? Are we just looking for weaknesses? All of those things I wanted to say. Okay, pardon the interruption, but I wanted to take just a minute to share something really exciting with you. You often hear me share about something called Genius Hour or passion-based learning on my podcast. If you aren't sure what this is, it's the opportunity for learners to pursue both their passion and purpose during the school day. Even better, they're given the opportunity to actually apply their learning and utilize life-ready skills throughout the process. I created a process for this type of learning called the 6 P's of Genius Hour. Basically, this process makes Genius Hour both manageable and meaningful. If you want to know more about how to make this happen in your classroom, you have to check out my online course over on Teachable. You can find the link in the show notes, and if you use the code podcast when checking out, you'll receive a 25% discount. Exciting stuff, huh? Okay, back to the episode. And immediately when that teacher showed me that she and her colleagues had a strengths-first mindset, I was all ears, and the rest of that meeting, I was willing to listen and learn from them and think through how we could work together to kind of solve this one little problem that she was having in one particular class. And so I think for me, that one point is really personal. Just that idea of never talk about a learner's weaknesses before talking about their strengths first. To your colleagues, to their parents, to the learners themselves, this can have a big impact, and it's really not that difficult to do. It's just reminding yourself and kind of having that moment of, wait a second, I'm not gonna talk about what this kid isn't good at until I talk about what they are good at. So just something to remember, number one, never talk about a learner's weaknesses before talking about their strengths first. All right, number two, talk to your learners about what they enjoy and like to explore beyond the walls of the classroom. This is important because it gives you an opportunity to recognize that they may do something really well that you just aren't able to see in your classroom, right? I think about students who are gifted in so many different ways, maybe athletically, maybe creatively. And if those opportunities aren't given in a classroom, we may never see that as educators. I'll just stay on the topic of my daughter. She is an amazing writer. And when she writes from a personal perspective, it is just, for lack of a better word, it's brilliant. She's just a really good writer and shares her thoughts in a very sophisticated, advanced is the only other way I know how to describe it. Just listening to her read what she's written, oftentimes I think like, oh my goodness, that sounds like something that an adult wouldn't even be able to write or to clarify or to speak that way. And yet you've done it here in the notes on your phone. And so she's just really gifted in that way. But the reality is her math teacher may not know that, right? Her science teacher, unless she's given the opportunity to write, they may not see those things. And if they could, what they would know is that it is through writing that she is really able to make sense of things, which is very similar to the way that I work as well. And so this idea of talking to them about what they enjoy doing beyond the walls of the classroom, it gives you insight into who they are. And it gives us an opportunity to shift away from just focusing on what they can do and instead focusing on what I just said, who they are. And that's so important and not that difficult to do if it is intentional. I think we can get so caught up in the hustle and bustle and all the things we have to do, and this can kind of fall over to the wayside. But when we're intentional about it, maybe just in your grade book or somewhere on a notebook, wherever, you write down, like, these are three kids that I want to connect with today. And the next day you have three more kids. And so it's not that you have to talk to every single kid in that way every single day, but if you're intentional about connecting with each one of them at some point, that is really helpful and can help you see, oh my gosh, like, they may not be able to complete this worksheet the way that I want them to, but they have this amazing ability to use words, or they have this amazing ability to write music. Whatever that is, I think that's really, really important to think through. All right, so number two, talk to your learners about what they enjoy and like to explore beyond the walls of the classroom. Number three, be intentional about giving learners a variety of opportunities to demonstrate their strengths throughout the school day. This is very closely aligned to number two, right? Once we know what they enjoy, we want to give them opportunities to showcase that during the school day. I've recently talked about the idea that we refer to anything outside the walls of the classroom as the real world, which I think is very weird. Like, there. If school isn't the real world, what is it? That doesn't make sense. So I think number one, we have to stop utilizing that word. I think instead we can say, this is how you'll use this beyond the walls of the classroom. But I think that this idea of being intentional for them to demonstrate their strengths while they're at school is a great way for them to see a connection between what they experience at school and what they experience when they're not at school. So when they can see, oh my gosh, this teacher is actually giving me an opportunity to use this strength that doesn't typically fit into school, they're giving me an opportunity to utilize that. That can help them make connections. It can help them be more engaged and result in them being willing to do the hard work. I think this is the reason that I am so passionate about Genius Hour and passion-based learning. Is that's exactly what that does. It gives them an opportunity to learn on their terms. It gives them an opportunity to utilize their strengths. And in doing so, it gives you an opportunity to see them through a lens that you may never see them through if you don't make that type of learning a priority. So even if you only give up 30 minutes a week, or you give up one day of 6 weeks, if you use that time while they're working on their passion projects to really pay attention to and take notes on, hey, this kid is really good at collaborating, or this kid is really good at giving somebody else feedback. Those types of things can help you see who a learner is and how you can connect with them when it comes to needing them to understand concepts, standards, and skills outside of those passion projects. So, number three, be intentional about giving learners a variety of opportunities to demonstrate their strengths throughout the school day. And again, I just think Genius Hour can play such a big role in that. If you want to know more about passion-based learning, gosh, for sure follow me on Instagram because I share often there. But you can also check out my website at andymcnair.com/genius-hour. Genius Hour is also in the navigation bar, so you can just go to andymcnair.com and click on Genius Hour to learn more there as well. So, gosh, so many things to consider and think about as we make this strengths first mindset a priority in our classrooms, on our campuses, and hopefully throughout our entire districts. I think it can be a game changer. So let's just revisit these three things one more time so that as we kind of close out here, they're fresh on your mind. Number one, never talk about a learner's weaknesses before talking about their strengths first. Number two, talk to your learners about what they enjoy and like to explore beyond the walls of the classroom. And number three, be intentional about giving learners a variety of opportunities to demonstrate their strengths throughout the school day. So I don't know about you, but I just think that sounds like so much more fun than focusing on a kid's weaknesses. And like I said, I am not suggesting that this is easy, because I know how easy it is to fall into feeling like, as an educator, it's our job to fix kids. There are definitely things that need to be fixed. There are definitely things that they need to learn while they're at school. But if we give them the opportunity to recognize that, yes, I have weaknesses, but I also have these amazing strengths and gifts that I can utilize to address those weaknesses, I think we're going to be in a much better place. So I hope this makes as much sense to you as it does to me. As always, I hope it helps you find a little meaning in your mess. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.